Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 10 of the Reality TV Challenge Wrap-Ups. My name's Allie Lasher, and if you can hear my voice before Brian's, you know that something is amiss. Brian had to call in Jewish tonight. I did not, because we are graciously recording on West Coast time, thanks to our fill-in host, one of my favorites, Johnny Langan. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Dun, dun, dun. What's up? Thank you for having me for the second time in one season, the season that never ends.
The season that never sleeps, not as renowned as New York, but this is a big milestone that we've even made it to episode 10.
I feel like this show has been on the air for about a year of my life, and I recorded the last one like months ago. So to see that pretty much everyone's still in the house is alarming.
Speaking of milestones, really quick. So last episode, I made a desperate plea to our audience to hit us with some reviews, and they did not disappoint. So quick shout out to Ms. Mel 12 or 2, Queen of the Mic, Annie Pizzuletti, that wasn't even close, Pizzutelli, MBEM 2010, Cat 1298989, and RJC and DJC. Thank you so much for the support. If you want to get on board, now I'm just like making a mission to get to 200 before the end of the season, if that ever happens. And you can join us at robhiswebsite.com/challenge. iTunes, much appreciated. Johnny, we haven't spoken to you in a little while.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
And almost nothing has happened on the show.
I have to go back on pretty much all of the predictions I made. What was I on for episode 2?
Well, welcome to podcasting.
I know, but like, I have so much pride. I have so much pride.
That's your first mistake. Don't come on here with any pride.
You think you know someone. You think you've seen 30 seasons of a show that you can predict how it's going to go. But no, Brittany and Corey aren't going to have a relationship. Marie is garbage to watch. There's like, I'm sorry, you RHAP community, for setting up some real stinkers.
Well, look, first of all, it's so generous of you to think that the RHAP community is even listening to this. But, you know, you were optimistic. You came in strong. No shame. I show up on Rob's podcast and just make the hottest of the hot takes, and everyone thinks I'm ridiculous. But I support it. There's a place for you here. What my thing with this season is, I went on to talk about Big Brother with Rob, and I made a big plug for how the season is one of the best seasons in recent history. And then they hit me with like the last few episodes that were really slow. My thing is, and my frustration in watching this, how good would this season be if it was in the normal format of what, however many episodes? Like, if they weren't dragging these out, tell me this wouldn't be a top 5 to 10 season.
I mean, I still think it's a great season. I think that it's like fun and watchable and like very cringy, but that's kind of why I like the show. Not necessarily for like the hot button topics, but yeah, if this was condensed, dude, this would be so much fun to watch. If we didn't like, if you get attached to someone and they actually leave, there's like weight to that. But now it just feels like the people that I see go in episode 3 are probably just going to be back by episode 8. So like, my emotions don't really matter. But yeah, I think that I don't know why MTV is making this basically a year round show. There's no pause. So I'm just a little bit exhausted at this point. I'm super exhausted of freaking Camilla. Like, she needs a mental vacation, just like the whole audience does. I don't know. I would love it if this season was like 13 episodes and we were nearing the end. But Allie, we are not.
We're barely getting started. I mean, there's a high probability that you'll be back before the end of the season.
Time's a charm.
Honestly, like, it's crazy when they have Leroy later. We have Leroy's birthday and he says he's never in 8 seasons had a birthday in the house. It's because the filming schedule is so crazy this year that now everybody will have a birthday at some point in the house.
Yeah, eventually. They're just living there. This is their home. They just don't pay rent. That's it.
I don't know. I just think it's still been a great season. Usually every episode, the last 2 episodes, especially this one, you can just see the scenes that would normally be on the shit they should have shown or would normally be in a reunion clip are now being stretched out to fill time. And that's what, when I can feel that they're stretching the time, is when I get a little bit upset as a viewer. Like, don't stretch my time. Believe it or not, I have somewhat of a life besides the fact that I have a podcast on two television shows on MTV.
Fake news. That is a old face lie, Ally Lasher.
All right.
No, so I think the Redemption House stuff, we could trim the fat a little bit. There's a lot of booty shaking, a lot of cheersing that normally I think would just be featured in the promo where they slow-mo it. But now they're just like, oh, I guess we'll play the whole twerking segment and the whole cheersing on a boat segment.
Where all right, let's get into it because it's just
let's dig into the deep.
I feel like every scene here is just like I was expecting something to happen and nothing ever did. So let's as I just revealed to my roommates that I have a podcast and they were like, what do you talk about for an hour? Challenge accepted.
Kissing and boys, Ally, is that one?
So we we start with Redemption. Oh, you have, yes, if you have something to start with, I would love that, because
I knew you were gonna jump to Redemption House, but I want to go a little bit before that and say
amazing.
This intro is garbage because the big juice of last episode was how awful Camilla treated Leroy and the racial elements that came into it, and the intro just wiped right past all of that stuff. And this whole episode, I get to give a lot of props to the editors in so many ways because it was hilarious, but they also really let this chick get away with some really heavy stuff. And like, what the hell? Why do you think they kept her out? Why don't they mention what was really the big drama of last episode?
So that's actually perfect. So let's even just cycle back to the end of last week where Brian and I were speculating on, is Camilla done? Why didn't they send her home, etc. So we got a ton of tweets and messages from our fine listeners, and I really appreciate it, who let us know that Camilla apparently was cast on this spinoff Champs versus Whoever, whatever they could do. Show coming up on MTV, and allegedly to me, but apparently she went crazy on that before it even started filming and like punched one of the producers or something ridiculous. And now is officially like banned from the challenges. So with that knowledge, right, like I feel like the editors are just trying to make this incident as minimal as possible. Like, they didn't even show the full extent of her lashing out at Leroy. Get her out. Get her not shown that much and be done. I also think she has a good chance to like win or do really well this season, and they can't, like, how do they reconcile like a racist garbage person winning, you know, like how do they do that?
It's not something to celebrate. I guess you're right. Like, at least like hide her instead of keep featuring her.
And I'm not saying I support that. Really, like, I just think that's what's happening.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it is. Oh, have you ever, this is a bit of a mini tangent, have you seen that episode of SVU where the girl stays up for like 7 or 8 days in a row straight so she can ace her tests, and then she kills her roommate and then they plead insanity because like however many days you stay awake, your BAC rises. And so they're like, oh, she's clinically insane because she's like wasted. And I feel like Camilla both is an alcoholic probably, but also they don't get any sleep. So if she's crazy, she's just getting crazier and crazier by the day. And so this girl needs to go to sleep at some point and like sleep for a week straight and like reset your life a little bit. But that's what I was thinking about when she was throwing chairs and like being a train wreck last episode. It's like, oh, it's like the girl from Modern Family on SVU.
This is why when you need a sub host, you call Johnny Langan, people. If anyone had any question about his level of expertise on psychosis, here we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I haven't seen that episode, but it seems completely right to me. I mean, I'm just so done with Camilla that, like, we'll get to it later or we'll get to it now. Who cares? The points don't matter. Like, literally with Camilla, I was, like, at that dinner or at that lunch. Like, we were speculating last week, people just forget about this or would they not? And I was like, I will not forget. I will be vigilant. Where was Camilla at that lunch? Sitting next to Leroy, back at the cool kids table. Ain't no thing.
Ugh, but it is a thing. Come on.
No, I mean, it's not a thing to that. I'm just saying, I think that's why she's getting buried, because she's going to face no repercussions in the house for this. And MTV is clearly doing anything they can with the special at the end of the episode, like to try to sort of disassociate with this kind of behavior. while still having us watch her like win the season or whatever is going to happen.
Give it to Anissa. She's worked hard. She ate all those rats.
She's got me. She's got me.
Okay, so let's get to the episode. You're right. They show, I believe it's Hunter and Nicole charging full force into the Redemption House. Then they run upstairs. They find, I guess there seems to be one air-conditioned bedroom in the Redemption House. Not the dreaded purple room, but the green room where all three of them are chilling.
Can I just say, is this not the most likable Hunter's ever been when he like frolics into this house? In that like 5 seconds, I was like, oh, Hunter might be likable. Oh, never mind. Sorry, no.
Yeah. Oh, but the one thing was, I don't know, in his confessionals in this period, I was like, what allergy has been triggered? How many bees have stung him? His face and his body are like twice the size of his normally huge body, and his eyes are just swollen to the point of like you can see maybe a little bit of white, and then later in the episode he's shrunk back to his normal size. So it was just, I couldn't stop laughing at his confessionals.
I try not to comfort people's physical appearances to a certain extent, and it's hard because like they're on TV, but I I try to do better. I'm a hypocrite, whatever. Hunter has not looked good in a long time, so like for me, I'm just kind of used to this sort of state of the state his body's in for whatever reason. I can't speculate to what things he might be using to get so huge and look so strange, but
he's just been drinking a lot of water lately, Allie. It's all water weight. He just has to pee. It'll come right out.
Maybe it's milk. It's, calcium. I've seen commercials.
Ugh. Sorry.
All right. So speaking of, let's get past the Redemption House, because we're going to have to go back to it. It's just so ridiculous. But it's time for Tony to once again face his demons on an MTV television show. I mean, the editors are not being paid enough for how much like Snapchat tomfoolery editing they did on this episode. But would they have the flashbacks to the bus, Tony working out with the hawks overhead? I mean, what do you make of this scene? Are you happy we're addressing this, or do you wish we just kind of put it to bed?
I guess because it is such a long season, it seems like the producers are trying to do double duty to really make sure there's drama, really make sure that something is exciting and scandalous every episode. And the poor guy, not the poor guy, but like, I mean, he did what he did. But there's like this element where he's clearly trying to say, just let it rest. I clearly feel bad. We don't need to get into it deeper, because the repercussions outside the show are going to be way shittier for all the people involved if you show like my girlfriend having a freak out, or you show me like really getting angry about this. So I don't know, like as much as I think he's like a fun buffoon to watch and is very problematic, the producers are pushing him, and he's such a like sensitive, vulnerable person in this house that like I don't know, it feels the manipulation. I've watched both seasons of Unreal, so I feel bad for him.
All right, so a couple of things. One thing is like we have some very passionate Tony fans in our listening pool, and one of them speculated like that Tony, and I actually thought this was really interesting, like one of them speculated like Tony is paid, like in one sense, like Tony is obviously paid to do this sort of thing because that's who Tony is, and they bring him on to do this sort of thing. But my impression, or at least this sparked in my head, if this is not what the listener meant, is like that Tony is actively paid to like make out with someone, cheat on your girlfriend. Maybe it's arranged. Like it sent this whole spiral in my head that like maybe this is like Tony knows he's supposed to go on, F up his relationships, and the girlfriend understands like it's like a job. He's like an actor sort of thing. If anybody was thinking anything like that, this scene to me completely destroys that, right? Because it's the producers begging him to talk about it and he's refusing. Like, this is as real as it gets. He's effed up his family as much as you can. But we have a couple questions about this.
Okay.
PJ Gaughan says, how would you share the blame between Tony and the producers over the Camilla incident? Clearly, Tony shouldn't have done it, but should the producers air it if it doesn't have anything to do with the overall story?
But it does have stuff to do with the overall story, because the story is whatever they want it to be, you know? So I think the blame is on the man up top, you know, telling the producers what the stories they want. And Tony is like the puppet for them. And so like whether he's Banana's puppet in the game or the producer's puppet for the show, I don't think that he really has much agency working in his favor. And I don't necessarily think that he's shown that he has like the mental capacity or the mental like, strength to like self-control to not get himself into these situations. So I don't think there's no blame to be shared, but I definitely think everybody is conscious of what they're doing. And Tony is just a very easy pawn and puppet.
I mean,
does that make sense?
100% makes sense. I agree with you. Like, but the thing for me is I'm always hesitant to blame the producers. So on the one hand, I feel like an accomplice to certain situations by being a fan of reality television, doing a podcast. Same time, these are adults in the world with agency and their own minds. And like, Britney's got a boyfriend. You don't see her doing anything on the show with anyone. Like,
yet.
Tori. No, but I'm just saying, like, Tori. Like,
I know.
There are people who come in here married and leave married. There are people who come in here with relationships and kids and cheat on them. Like, to me, it's like who you are in reality television exposes who you are. And like, I've known too many people on reality television and listened to too many podcasts and done too many interviews to still feel like I blame the producers for Tony's missteps. And also, like, time and time again, man, like, stop coming on the show then if you're like that upset about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's this episode in particular, you really do get to see kind of where his head is at in terms of, I mean, talk about like an interest in psychology. This dude is a case study in himself of just like the mind of a train wreck. And when he tries to rationalize it as he's doing backflips off of a boat and things like that, it's you kind of do witness him feel the gravity of what he's done. And just like Camilla should probably go to, like, I don't know, rehab, he should definitely just, I don't know, if he wants to set an example for his kids, I'm no one to speak. I don't have kids, but like, get off TV if it keeps ruining your home life, you know? Like, if this show, which is your, I guess, piggy bank at this point, find another bank, dude. Like, if you value your home life that much, I don't believe that it is all an act, you know? As you were saying, as we watched him deflect the producers, I don't think it's an act. And I don't know. He seems like a little puppy this episode in a way that, like, I've never had much empathy for him except for maybe this episode.
And to PJ's question about the not having to do the overall story, like, you're on a reality show. If you hook up with someone and you cheat on your spouse, like, significant other, or just hook up with someone in general, like, that's making air. Like, that is the story of the challenge. Like, whether or not it had anything to do with the physical competition, like, that's the challenge. Like, you
absolutely,
it's included. You're going to do it. And, in a way, I feel like people come on to reality television in a naive sense, thinking that the producers are looking out for their best interest. I think there needs to be something between, like, okay, Unreal is ridiculous, and like, if that's happening, that's not acceptable. But great show though. But like, to a certain extent, like, you go to a job, like, HR, your bosses, like, everyone's out for themselves, like, to a certain extent, like, it's a business, right? And you can't forget it. Like, these people here aren't getting paid to be your counselors. They're getting paid to make entertainment out of you, which is what you signed up to do. So, like, to think that you're going to go on a show, hook up with someone, and the producers are going to hide that from the world is, I think MTV has protected people on the show more than most would. And, like, you hook up with someone, like, you're done. That's going to be shown. Like, you're being filmed. You know it. It's not that long of a period of time. It's going to expose you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what his relationship with Alyssa is like at home, but I assume they showed us most of what went down, but they were just doing some dumb kissing on the back of a bus when you're wasted. Not saying that it's excusable, but like, it could have been worse. It could have been way worse.
I'm with you, but from her perspective, it's probably like a 15,000 strikes and you're out kind of deal. Like, this is
yeah.
But all right, so to lighten the mood a little bit, Mike Christensen says, how badly is Tony wishing he lost to Darrell in the redemption competition and just went home? And how badly are you wishing Tony lost to Darrell in the redemption competition and just went home?
10 and 10. 10 and absolute 10. Darrell is the best. He's fun to watch. I always value the challenge, actual challenge prowess versus, I love the sloppy drama. I love it. But I mean, to witness like Darrell kick a lot of ass is way more fun than to watch Tony flounder and do whatever Banana says and then ruin his home life, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, this isn't fun entertainment for me. But I think Tony's still like at a 7. Like, he's loving the boat, but he like regrets like the kissing.
That's true. He's not a 10 out of 10. He's for sure like, yeah, 7, maybe 5 on like a good day, 3 on a bad day, a 9.
To MTV's credit,
he's a mess.
Or at least to like the relationship between Tony and the producer's credit, like they made him look as good as he could given the situation, like in this episode, you know, like he's looking really introspective. He's looking upset. Like, he has this whole fight with Bananas, which we'll deal with, but like, it's clearly misdirected anger. Like, he's clearly not like, oh, I got away with this and it's fine. And you know, like he seems upset about it, and they're showing that to us.
There's remorse. Yeah. There's remorse for sure.
All right. I need to hear what you think about this, because this to me was the best moment of challenge in the world. Is baking with CT not like, does that not need to get like fast tracked to the Food Network? Like, do you not need to see that every day?
Oh my God. I called it cooking time with CT. So we get that double CT.
I love that. I love it.
And I want to see him punch. I want to see him punch the butter. I want to see him not measure out the sugar. I want to see him do everything that goes in between. I would have watched a full season of cooking time with CT rather than 8 years of this. This was my favorite segment that I think this season has had to offer and the show has had to offer in a while. Like, we go from CT cooking, making corny jokes about like Colombian sugar in the kitchen, and then suddenly it's Leroy's birthday and Vivaldi's Spring is playing. and then it's bookended with a vomit, and it's just, it was beautiful. This is this type of stuff where the editors do it here. They do it during the fight. They do it later in the episode as well. The editors like are having a lot of fun with the sound, and it just feels like a bit goofier than usual. Like, I remember Bloodlines was way too serious and it was just really boring. So stuff like this is always welcome on my screen when watching the challenge.
I mean,
what do you think of the cake?
So I thought, like, and especially you mentioned it was bookending with Leroy vomiting. Like, it's the right kind of vomiting as opposed to what we see later. Like, this is the Cheyenne cute puke from Are You the One, as opposed to like the gross food puke, gross in slow motion. If we're going to see puking, this is the puke to see. I will say about the cake, like, that I knew immediately when he put down that butter, like, no cake calls for a pound of butter like that. Like, that's just not what's happening. I mean, maybe he was making some sort of pound cake. That was just the size of the cake and the amount of the butter was just not correct. But to the point where CT won't even eat it, which I thought was like the low key funniest part of the whole thing, is that he's like, I'm not touching that mess.
I thought everything was funny. I will tell you, this is a confession. I have tried and failed at making homemade chocolate chip cookies about 7 times in my life. So I don't bake. It's too hard. So I CT getting a product that rose a bit and looked like somewhat of a cake was so impressive to me. So props to him for, he had such a good episode. I loved it. Yeah, he would not feed that to his child. And he's a great dad for that.
Wendy Jong says, should CT's cake have been one of the eating challenge dishes?
Oh God. Ugh. Yes. Get rid of what, like coxcomb skewers or something. and cake with, what are you, like strawberries and Oreos.
One thing from this moment here, like, do we feel like this is Leroy's coronation? Like, when he says, like, oh, the money's great, but, like, being amongst this group of champions. Like, to me, this scene, and I am not spoiled. I like, couldn't be spoiled if I wanted to be. Don't know how to use Vevmo or whatever. Like, do we feel like this scene is, like, winner's edit level material?
You know, I love Leroy, so I hope so. It would be great to see him come out on top. I mean, he hasn't had a bad season so far, and especially when someone gets ripped apart like he did last week and had such tenacity, like, competition aside, like, I want to see that guy win, you know? I hope so. He is getting a really good edit, better than all the other pretty much everyone else, like Derek and Jordan, and even CT is getting more of a goofy edit than a champion edit. Bananas isn't getting a great one. So, I mean, I think his odds are looking really strong. Nelson has a good edit, so I could see them going pretty far together or against each other. But again, my predictions are always wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm actually worried that you said it, but I agree with you. As far as this, I've put in my notes as the Cheap Thrills boat party, because I've been paying a lot of attention to the music lately, and I got amped when they played Cheap Thrills for this boat party.
Yeah, I said there were so many butts and so many toasts. Because it was, you could tell that they were getting like really drunk too, because every time that they would do a toast, I kept my eye on Derek, because he seems like he's like one of the lesser partiers. Even he had a different drink almost every time they raised the glass. And so like CT is also slurring his words. I love this. I love drunk CT. I love all the booty shaking and the jump shaming that Cara received. It was a fun thing to watch. It had nothing to do with the show, but it was fun to watch.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's bad when I've written transitions into my notes, because then I write like, and follow an uneventful scene with an uneventful redemption house. Like when I'm like working the bits into the notes, it's like, I have nothing to take notes on. I thought this was a really fun boat scene. I like when they go out. I like when they enjoy themselves, but then like absolutely nothing happened. And then we went to the next scene where again, absolutely nothing happened. And I have to say, love Anissa, absolutely love her. Happy to go down with the Anissa ship. But when she's complaining about Tori and Brittany having nothing else to do in the house but gossip about people who aren't there to defend themselves, she like says that as a criticism after doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's all you do. You hang out in the kitchen and don't kiss Corey and you talk shit. Like, that's your job in this show.
I'm like, lol, same. Like, get a microphone and a podcast.
Yeah, but even to like the 100th degree, you've got Nicole and Marie at the same table. And to hear Nicole, no, like, I think Nicole is fine. Marie is comically awful. But like Nicole having all this vitriol as if she's like going to come back and like beat everyone up. I was like, no, I don't think so. I don't think this is, unless you like put on like 20 pounds of muscle, like you're not, she's, I don't know. Do you think she's a great competitor? I mean, she proved herself pretty well later in the episode, but this isn't necessarily a physical challenge.
I think this is her best season so far. Like, this is by far Nicole's best showing, to the point where anytime Nicole has been cast, even her original Bloodline season, I was like, ugh, what's she doing here? And now I'm like, if she comes back in another season, I'm not upset to see her back. So I don't think she's a great competitor. I think we'll get to it later, but she showed a lot of heart, as TJ said 1,000 times. I think she had funny lines this season when she was shown. She wasn't an embarrassment, and she had a lot of challenge knowledge and reverence for the challenge. Yeah. I'm fine, especially with hoping that Camilla's gone, Nani's gone. I'm not upset seeing Nicole. So she did a lot, I think, to turn herself around this season. Do I think she could back up the tough talk she was talking? Absolutely not.
Yeah, I mean, I think the toughest talker out of those three, though, is still Marie. And she, I just laugh at everything she says, because like she's sitting across the table just being like, oh yeah, exactly. Like, hope we got to get in there and beat them all up. Like, she's like, when Nicole was saying something like, we got to go in there and turn the house on its head. Like, we got to fight back. Somebody's got to do something. And Marie is just sitting there like, oh yeah, no, it's going to be me. As if like she's a hot air balloon. And she's a kind of a hate watch for me. I hate to say it. I know Brian will be thrilled to see TJ light into her later. But yeah, I kind of wrote down that I feel like Marie is the drunk aunt who like maybe did sports in middle school and a little bit like JV or something in high school, but is now 15 years after that and like is just kind of like thinking she's the same person, but all she's really doing is getting wasted and telling lame jokes and being very aggressively confident.
All right, well, don't take drunk aunt away from us, because we are the drunk aunt of RHAP. So I don't even want to be associated with Marie.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, she's who could she be? She's like the woman that you wish wouldn't come to your kid's soccer game.
She's like the mom in Mean Girls.
Oh yeah, she's but like yes, not funny. Yes,
like,
yeah.
Girls keep me on.
This is a lot of Marie chat.
Here's the thing about Marie. Marie is like, you know, the prince who is promised. I think I said this before. Like Marie is, I think, and please, internet world, correct me if there's someone I'm mistaking at 10:44 on a Wednesday night, or someone I'm forgetting. Marie is somebody that I had so much hope for on the challenge, who fizzled out the loudest in a bad way. Like, I thought Marie after St. Thomas was going to show up hilarious, strong. Like, you don't have to be the best at challenges, but like the Jemmy, you know, like the Anissa, like the people who add, for people don't always have to like them, but for me, they add a little flavor, they add some interest, they add some drama, some humor. And Marie just fell completely flat. I feel like she's had enough chances, and now I'm done hoping for Marie to pay off. And I'm saying, it hurts me to say. I think she was great on her season of The Real World. It just didn't work out for her on the challenge.
How the maybe mighty have fallen.
I'm going to get that tattooed on me.
Now we're going to move on to one of the more actually intense scenes from this episode.
Speaking of maybe mighty.
Yeah, maybe mighty. We could have had a crazy fight, and instead we had a nice bro-y moment.
Psychotic break.
But, yeah, oof. I mean, this is a case study, I'm telling you. But so Bananas tells us that there are a couple rules, or at least two major rules of the Challenge House. The first is to wear protection. Great.
And then Tony's missed that memo.
I know. Well, he made that joke. There's Steve and Bananas, like-minded. But then the second is going to be don't be the first to fall asleep, which is very summer camp vibes. And I get it. I remember poor Nick Benvenuto got a lot of shit from us at every summer party in seventh grade. threw all his clothes
Holy
in the pool.
Shit, I'm racking my brain. Like, oh my God, what season was he on? Like, where am I?
No. Unless you were at my friend Steven's sleepovers for all his birthdays. You don't know him.
Yes.
But this was very Nick Benvenuto vibes. So Tori and Bananas, and it seems like the rest of the house trailing behind like gremlins, throw on these wigs and they get a bunch of feathers and a nail polish and glue, and they decide to turn Tony's face into a tapestry of Trashy Party City feathers. And it's pretty funny. I think it's stupid, but I mean, it's funny.
I thought this was hilarious. Like, this beats Chips in the Bed for me all day. I think,
oh, yeah.
Like, we haven't seen Bananas handling this level of fight in a while, so that was almost, like, interesting and jarring at the same time. When Tony wakes up saying, why can't we just have a good day? Like, I wake up every day thinking that. I'm just like, yes, Tony. Like, oh, God. But this is the prime moment of the episode that would have been a shit they should have shown. You know, like, this was, like, it materialized into nothing. My question for you here, was Tony drinking before he went to sleep, or was this a completely sober Tony waking up?
Oh, definitely was drinking.
Okay.
Right? Look at his eyes.
I thought he seemed so drunk, but they seemed to make it as though this was just him upset.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone was really drunk. I mean, I was questioning for a minute with my tinfoil hat whether or not this actually, when this took place in the season, because I don't know, it seemed like his body just looked different than it did even the day where in the morning, or I'm using air quotes, when they showed him working out. So like, I don't know if this is the producers putting this scene in now when it actually may have happened much earlier. But I mean, if you look at Tori's face when she's, either her face in particular, she looks wasted. So I'm pretty sure all of them had been partying, and the way he's snoring, you don't just like open mouth snore.
Speak for yourself.
Face to the gods like that if you're not a little bit tipsy.
I did learn
a new vocab word from him, or some hip new slang.
Yes.
5150.
I thought you were going to say fakery when Anise is talking about bakery. I thought you were just jumping right ahead. Fakery is my word of the episode, but 5150 is good too.
Have you heard that before?
Well, 5150 is actually in Seinfeld, the code for like shoplifting books. Oh. We have 5150 swarm. But no, I don't think that's what Tony was referencing.
On Urban Dictionary, yes. It's called, it says clinically insane. Yes. So he woke up and he was so angry at bananas. And because I guess he was peeling the feathers and things off of his face, and a chunk of his eyebrow must have come off, which sucks, which definitely sucks. But he's like, I'm going 5150 on you. Like, and it was, again, he's insane. And he jumps down, he gets in Banana's face, he's very upset about it, he grabs Banana's toiletry bag and throws it on the ground, like, as if it's a grenade or something.
Why, why the toiletries? Like, what did the deodorant do to you? Like, that killed me, that he goes in, like, that's not just something around. Like, you have to go to the bathroom, get his specific toiletries, and slam that down.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, maybe it's just grab the closest thing you see. But no, he went over to that blue drawer and he slammed it shut like it was his biggest enemy. And then he came and tossed that bag down. And it was funny because that's when Banana was like, oh, no, now it's gone too far. As if like this toiletry bag and something maybe shattering on the ground is like worse than ripping off someone's eyebrow.
Well, this is the thing. Like when Tony's like, I'm going to flip the bunk bed. And then Jordan hilariously is like, hold on, let me just get off, which I love.
Oh, it was the best.
And then like, you know, they're like, go ahead and do it. And the classic tough guy, Tony, like backs away and just takes it out in the bathroom and the drawers. And I mean, I respect the misdirected anger. I've been there. I get it. But like, what's crazy is the evolution from like, I want to kill Bananas over the joke to like, I'm starting to get the humor, like, ha ha ha. Like, oh, you don't fall asleep in the challenge house. Like, that to me was like, all right, like Tony and Camilla are at the same level of just like, this is not fun. This is not funny. Please get some help. Be in a better place.
Yeah, it's a bit too quick of a turn on a dime. I think number one challenge house rule should be, read the room. If I was Bananas and Tony's in my alliance, and I see that Tony's been making out with Camilla on the bus and he's like working out angry, he's upset, and like I know how sensitive this kid is, like I don't think that I want to agitate him any further, even if it's funny, you know? I feel like read the room, recognize that this kid is on edge more so even than probably usual, which is already very on edge, and like prank somebody else. I don't know.
Here's the thing about the pranks in the challenge house. Like, I never think they're going to be as big of a deal as they turn out to be. And like, I see what you're saying with this, but like, cause he's clearly unwell. But for the rare time of the podcast, like I have to side with Bananas here. Like they temporarily glued feathers to your face that didn't even seem difficult to get off. Maybe two eyebrow hairs peeled off. Like so effing what, Tony? So what?
Yeah, but it's he's projecting. It's not about the feathers. It's about the fact that he's like, he just like cheated on his baby mama with this loud racist girl.
Also,
and, like,
his
it's
fault.
On TV. And yeah, it's his fault, but he's festering in that while he drunk sleeps mouth agape.
Well, here's something I don't think Johnny could have foreseen. Brian, the tweeter on Twitter, asked us, do either of you care about any person, place, or thing as much as Tony cares about his eyebrows? Maybe that was the whole issue. Who knew? Brows on fleek.
Yeah, that's true. He does have incredible eyebrows. His eyebrows are just unbelievable. I would never touch them.
Tony's incredible in a lot of ways, but I'm not talking about his eyebrows.
I don't think I have anything that I would almost flip a bunk bed over about. What about you? Is there something that you hold so dear that if they were to rip it off your face or remove it from your life, you would get really, really angry and slam a blue drawer shut and then throw a toiletry bag?
I mean, the overused phrase, this is why we can't have nice things, I think was inspired from my life. Like, I don't have anything nice. I can't keep anything nice. Glue feathers on anything you want. Like, I can't. I couldn't be less low maintenance. More low maintenance.
It's funny. I mean, I don't know why, but I felt like in this situation, I've been the Tony and I've been the Jordan. I've never been the Bananas. Like, have you ever felt like you were in? I feel like maybe in college you were a Tony.
Oh, you mean? Oh, was I Tony in college? Ooh, I'd love to hear how. I think I meant the Bananas. Like, I'm definitely someone who takes a joke too far and then like tries to be defensive about it instead of just owning up. But I've also probably been somebody flipped out for no reason. I've had many drunk walks home.
I was gonna say. the drunk, the cold walk home is, I think, a lasher move where it's like, oh, I hate everyone here, I have to go. And then you would walk home.
That's amazing. No, that's real. Like, my friends would tail me like a respectable 10 feet behind just to like make sure I was getting home okay, but like also not taste the wrath.
She's made a pit stop at Burger King.
I'm old now, though. That's in the past.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I once had to get a ride home from an astronomy professor at 5 in the morning. I get it.
No, now I'm like the drunk Uber by myself. So, like, nobody has to know about it and I'm safe.
All right. What happens next in this?
Another redemption house.
Oh, God bless.
But now TJ at least shows up.
Yeah, and they all get to unveil who they really have a vendetta for and who they'd be gunning for if and when they get back in the house.
Yeah, I mean, this is so stupid because at least the last time they did this, we thought maybe they'd have like some say in who they went up against. But now it's just call your shot, waste some time. Everyone talk about people that you won't be able to beat.
Yeah, I really felt like the only... When I listened to them, if I was to close my eyes and hear who felt it, I felt Hunter was very much anti-Jordan, and he really, like, in his brain thought, if I go back, I have one target and I'm going to demolish him, and he meant it. All three women were against Camilla, and then Marie was also against Kara. They never flat out said. It was interesting that no one in the Redemption House, like, was privy to the knowledge that Camilla had like, lashed out at Leroy the night before or so. So I have a feeling that's probably why she also has all three of the women against her. But
wait, remind me of the timeline. So that was after the elimination.
Was it after?
I thought Hunter and Nicole were privy to it, no?
No, they were privy to it, but they didn't.
Oh, gotcha,
it wasn't
gotcha.
Shown
yes,
on
yes.
TV. The show didn't show Nicole or Hunter telling Corey, Anissa, or Marie about it. It was only,
it's fakery. It's all the fakery.
It's all that fakery. I don't know what to do with all the fakery. But yeah, they all just have a lot of vitriol. Hunter's felt real. Everyone else felt like fake.
Fakery. Yeah, I thought what was most interesting in this segment is that Nicole gets 15 seconds to say that Camilla is a liar. She doesn't deserve to be there. She's a bad person. She hates herself. She should take a break and figure out her issues and never come back. Production including that to me speaks volumes. Like, that was not just I hate her like what everyone else is saying. That was like, she should never be on the show, she's a self-hating person. That cuts deep.
Yeah, that was I appreciated it. Also, it was probably my favorite Nicole look, you know.
Like her words, or you mean the makeup?
Both.
Those mink eyelashes,
those giant ass eyelashes, that crown of flowers, but also the truth she was spitting, where it's like, it's deeper than just a dislike. It's like almost like, I care more about you getting gone and taking care of yourself than anything else.
All right, well, speaking of spilling truth, do you buy into Jemmy's dreams?
100%.
I am with you.
Yes, I love it. This is my, I think actually in our original podcast together, I was not into Jemmy, and I love her this season.
See, I thought Jesus. You liked Jemmy.
No, I like the trashy vibe.
Okay.
Because I grew up watching Rock of Love and
yes.
I Love New York and Flavor of Love, all the, you know, the good stuff. But so I felt like she was more reminiscent of those shows. But this Jemmy dream, this is another, like, this is why I think production is having so much fun. Like, you've got Anissa like glowing up in the corner. They're doing all this super cut editing of what she's been saying. Like, she's speaking to Jemmy. I loved it. So dumb,
Jemmy.
And so fun.
I think I completely buy into this. I thought this was amazing. Like, Anissa wanted me to let you know she's still here. She's coming back. And like, I had to deliver the message. This was incredible. I love Jemmy. Anyone who was salty about Jemmy coming back is a fool. This was incredible. I buy into 100%. What people need to know about you, Johnny, right now is your relationship with Tiffany Pollard. And I have to just take a break. So, speaking of I Love New York, and ask if you're excited for her new reality show.
Oh, no. I mean, she's had, I try not to get too excited about the things that she has in the works, because I feel like she always has something coming out and then it either fizzles or she ends up being just like a guest on a show. I was really devastated when Ratchet Queens did not get the airing that it deserved. What is her next show?
Wait, did you watch her on Famously Single?
That really looked like a bad show and I'm getting too old, but I will not stop following her on Instagram. And why is Famously Single worth
it? I watched Famously Single. She was amazing on Famously Single. She just tries to have sex with everyone. I recommend it.
Oh, then I'll watch.
So
I'll watch it.
And I'm sorry, not sorry to everyone who doesn't care about this, but there's going to be a show on VH1 called Scared Famous. I think your hesitation is real. Like, this could easily be canceled. But oh,
well, it's just like, who else but me thinks she's famous? That's the hard part. It's like, it's me and the substitute. I had a substitute teacher in high school who was on I Love New York.
Shut up.
And so he definitely, I think he was 12 pack. He was a substitute teacher. And it was a life-changing moment to have him teach me poorly geometry.
That's incredible. All right, so Scared, it's like going to be like Haunted House vibes. Check it out. But
oh, she's just going to be screaming the entire time. I'll watch it.
That's amazing. So let's just get to the challenge, because I think we've talked about all the fill-in. The cast gets into lunch and gets told that while they're brunching, the challenge is going on. Leroy sort of says, let's vote them in right away. And we get to the challenge. First of all, what was TJ wearing? Did you catch this?
I was not paying attention.
Oh my God. All right. Like, TJ was wearing a lime green plaid t-shirt button down with a dark traditionally colored camo hat.
Nice.
I encourage you to go back. It was pretty upsetting. I'm still scarred.
He does whatever he wants, whenever he wants, and I'm going to be cool with it. I would like the confidence that he possesses to wear some of those slogan t-shirts, because never in my life have I. And TJ's just really cool, and I want to be just like him. You know what I mean?
Not with this outfit. I go back and take a look at it. But with this challenge, Green with Envy, the gross food challenge, I imagine, of the season. But we'll see. Brian and I have different takes. I think this is going to be the only gross food eating. Johnny, that's you. Brian thinks that we're going to see it again in the final.
I hope so. I love food.
Well, not only is this the worst gross eating challenge I think I've seen on the challenge, it might be the worst I've ever seen on any television show in terms of grossness of the food.
I once watched them eat a sewer rat smoothie on Fear Factor for some like big season premiere when they were in New York, and that was so repulsive. But yeah, this one's really nasty. They had to add the options of a giant water rat, a hard-boiled cow's eye, chicken intestine smoothie, a slimy pork nose, which was probably the grossest to me, and then the coxcomb skewers.
But that's the thing, like, they ate the rat, that was the gross thing you've seen, and four other items.
Yeah, but like a New York, like, slimy, you saw it with all its fur, they just dropped it straight into a blender. It was, I mean, I also was, what, like 11? So I was way more impressionable. Okay, so I have a question for
yes.
you.
Yes.
We're going to do a little bit of Ding, Marry, Kill.
Perfect.
With the options that they had to eat. So I think that the three hottest contenders would be the giant water rat, but not cut up. It would have, all these things are in their original form. So giant water rat, hard-boiled cow's eyes with the lashes, slimy pork nose with the green stuff flowing out of the nostrils.
Okay. And this is Ding, Marry, Kill. This is not like in terms of what you'd rather eat the most or not eat.
Yeah, like, who would you spend the rest of your life with?
Okay,
what would you kill?
Okay, yeah.
Who would you take home with you?
Okay, I would... You gave me the giant water rat, give me the slimy pork nose, and you gave me the cow eyes.
Yes.
All right, I gotta kill the water rat. I never want to see that again. I want to ding the pork nose.
Ew,
and let's keep it rolling with the eyes.
So you would marry the cow's eyes? I would also marry the cow's eyes.
You're a ding beautiful. The rat.
I don't know. No, I would ding the pork. And gross. I would ding the pork nose and kill the rat as well. The rat has very strong Princess Bride vibes to me, and that was traumatizing as well. I think I got a thing with rats. Yeah, but the coxcomb skewers seemed to be the most approachable item. Everybody was just housing them as quick as they could, and it was almost everyone's first dish.
Well, so that's the question. So Jody Hartung says, if you had to do that competition, what food item would you have eaten first?
The skewers, for sure.
See, I thought, and I was shocked, I thought the smoothie was the way to go. Because you don't have to chew it. You don't have to deal with a textural issue. You just, like, open your throat and let it happen. Like, you just, it's like the most passive eating experience to drink something. Like, so, like, that reminded me of the final when, like, everything was blended that Jen and Jay couldn't get through it. Like, it's just, like, drink it. Like, close your eyes, hold your nose, don't chew it. Nothing explodes. Like, you just drink it. I must be wrong because everyone saved that for last. Like, I must be wrong, or almost everyone.
Well, maybe people were saving it for the end because it would be probably the easiest thing to finish after you've been. And you might not want to have liquid sloshing around in your stomach. Fair. As you run up a couple flights of stairs, jump into a mud pit, pick out a ball, and then run back down. That's a lot of liquid. I mean, even remember the one where they had to, because liquid takes up so much more space. In the final in Bloodlines, where they're drinking all that non-alcoholic beer, and they're just no room for it. So you're just vomiting. I don't know. I think they're all really awful options, but I would probably choose, the skewers or the rat or just something that was like chunks of meat.
So Edward Morris says, on the flip side, which food would you put the emerald on first? Assuming you got the like 1 out of 15,000 emeralds that were
I would choose the eyes are, they just looked really nasty, and like there was, it looked like you almost couldn't even bite through it.
See, I wouldn't have thought the eyes until Nicole struggled with them so much, because like you'd think they call them like hard boiled or boiled, you'd think they'd kind of be like eggs, even though that obviously wouldn't be. So I'd go pork nose. I don't eat pork, and so I'd knock that one right out. Not that I eat cow's eyes, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know. They're all questionable, but I think also when you have money on the line, you just do it. It's way easier for me to say that, obviously, but I was so pissed but not surprised at Marie.
Yeah, we have to talk about that now.
So
when there's money on the line, you do it.
Yeah, so she takes a bite or two maybe of the skewers and just refuses to keep going, and she stands there. She makes dumb jokes about how like she's gonna offer it to a dog, or she's just gonna get comfortable standing there, as if like basically just throwing in the towel seemingly in the first couple minutes. I don't know how long she actually tried, much like she says they didn't show her insane intense elimination, but like, what did you make of her throwing in the towel? Apparently
people are probably not gonna be happy with this, but I'm not going to lie, I would have done the same thing. Like, I'm just not a good eater with this kinds of things. Like, even watching these challenges are hard for me. It's why I couldn't watch Fear Factor this week. Like, I can't do this. The smell, the vomit, I've never claimed to be able to do one of these. But if this disqualifies her from coming back, I think the issue is that Marie isn't a great character on the show anyway. So when she does something like this, nobody wants her back. It's like Jay. Like, nobody was mad when Jay quit. Like, I feel like everyone took the opportunity when Jay quit the final to be like, oh, well, Jay quit. We don't want him back. But we never wanted him back. So if this were a beloved like character quitting, I feel like we'd have more sympathy on them. I wouldn't eat any of this shit, but I don't try to go on the challenge.
Valid. I accept that. I think also, not to defend her in any way, but when you know that you're not going to be able to do it, and why not quit right at the beginning, then around the middle when you realize that it's not going to work out for you? It's because it looked like Nicole went for it real fast. She was doing a great job on those first couple dishes. She just was like, getting it down, running up the stairs, slamming the thing down to get another rock. But it looked like she was eating them faster than almost anybody else. So if I was Marie and I looked over and I saw my competition devouring food that I could barely put in my mouth. I guess you do have to weigh the options and say, like, do I want to have giant rat in my stomach for the next couple
Who knows?
Hours or so?
Who even knows how long that takes to pass?
We'll have to do some research.
Note pass.
But yeah, so Nicole was killing it. Marie was terrible. Hunter seemed to be doing a really great job as well. And he seemed to be paying the most attention to how other people, what they were choosing to eat and the pace that they were going. And so I would say both he and Nicole impressed me in this redemption competition. Everyone kind of impressed me because, I mean, that stuff was really nasty.
No, that was disgusting. I think Nicole, until she stopped, had an incredible attitude, probably the best of anyone. Like, I'm not going to stop. Keep it going. I'm going to eat this. Like, I was very, very impressed by Nicole. Nicole ended up breaking down fine. I think she really did give it the best she had. She just didn't have it in her to finish. I did maybe not a 180 on Nicole, maybe like a 30 degree little turn. We're getting there. Yeah, I just pivoted on Nicole. Perfect pivot.
Yeah, I think you could really even see how much she wanted it when she was like slamming that rock down or the bulb down, and she pulls another rock and she's just like, I just don't want to do it. I can't do it. And you could hear that she was going to at least try. And it was cool. It was nice that she did try, but it did give Anissa enough room to come back, which was a bummer. I mean, not a bummer. I like both of them pretty much the same, but Anissa was able to make Jemmy's dreams come true and finish it out by coming out on top and housing. Oh God! Oh, sorry. I just had a very vivid mental picture of her and the chicken intestine smoothie, and it was so much vomiting happened in this one between Corey and Anissa and the burps and like, oof. Okay, so in terms of entertainment, would you rather watch someone's family life be destroyed off camera or someone just puking every 5 minutes on camera?
Oh, geez. No, I would say, I mean, neither is the annoying answer. Give me the puking, because it's just like, it's the puking's going to end, but like the destroying their lives has lingering consequences. Before we move on too quickly, I just want to go back really quick to the mechanics of the challenge. When Nicole gets stuck on the hard-boiled eyes, that's not a sentence you want to say. Did they not have the ability to switch to like the next plate? Like, if they started one plate and couldn't get through it, could they eat the next plate and then hope for an emerald? Like, or is it when you choose a plate, you're committed?
That's something that I was wondering too, because if I was there, my gut instinct would be to eat them all, you know, just go through every single plate and just then run up and grab five bulbs and throw them down. That was where my brain went. But I also was thinking about what you're saying. And I wonder, I doubt that. I think once you choose your plate, it seems like you're locked into that plate because you can't come back to something that's already half eaten. It'll just be easier later. I don't know. What do you think about both those things?
I think you're crazy. Like, I think the method with the ball is like, the hope is that you don't have to eat all the plates. It's gross. But I think I would wonder, if you can just elect to eat all the plates, do you not even have to go up and grab the balls? If you just say, I'm going to finish all five plates, do you have to go?
No, I bet you'd at least have to do five laps.
I mean, that's interesting. Look, it's interesting. It's dedicated. But I do think, like, Hunter finding the emerald and Anissa finding the emerald did contribute to their win.
Oh, for sure. I think Nicole would have probably forced herself to go a little bit harder if Anissa hadn't gotten the emerald. Because once you have to eat two of your least favorite dishes and she only has to eat one, it's the juice worth the squeeze? Like, forcing yourself to eat them just in hopes that she goes really slow? Not really. But Hunter was already, he was just progressing his lead.
Well, in fairness, like, Hunter had the deep, deep motivation of his girlfriend for 6 months.
Oh, I loved it when he was like, well, I have, you know, at home. I was like, as if I know what you have at home. That was my favorite thing. I was like, I don't know if you have a girlfriend or not, Hunter. Thank you for assuming I did. But yeah, I really want him to win so she can have a great life and he can take her around the world with that $1 million prize and show her all the things that he's always wanted to show her, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was just so ridiculous. Jennifer Harris had anyone else motivated to win a final for their girlfriend or boyfriend of 6 months. I mean, no. Hunter is a rare breed. One thing that I can't get my handle on, and maybe you can help out, is like, I was feeling when they go back to the house and Tori and Anissa have this like crazy drama that's like so hateful, but also so stupid, when Anissa's like, oh, you need to like get a pitchfork to break into a coconut to get the coconut water. Like, I left my screwdriver at the Redemption House. Like, I was at the Redemption House. Like, I didn't understand that at all. And I was relieved when Jillian Nicole wrote this question, because at least it wasn't just me confused. Jillian said, can you guys talk about why people hate Anissa so much? I've watched almost every season of the show and I'm at a loss as to why she's hated so much. I get Tori not liking her because she was thrown in, but Jenna, Kayla, I personally like her and think this has way more... She's way more athleticism than a lot of girls cast in the show. Let's not forget that on the opening night of the show, she finished top three. Okay. What is going on between the women in this house?
I mean, I think first, it's probably... Anissa definitely sets herself up as... she's clearly a vet. She has this air that she belongs there. But I think because like these other girls are all trying to have like... Fabletics lines or whatever outside of the show, there's probably like this resentment for being like, well, you're old and you're not as, you don't look the same way as we do, therefore you don't deserve to be here. Like, you've been around for too long. The only reason you're in is probably from seniority. This is me entirely playing devil's advocate because I don't mind her on the show. But I think, yeah, it's just also easier to have a common enemy than it is to like risk siding with the person that your friends and allies are against. Does that make any sense?
100%. And I mean, for one difficult person to deal with to another, like, I get why Anissa's maybe not the most instantly likable person. I mean that from me to Anissa, not me to you. You're very likable. One thing that might shed some light on this is our digital communications manager, Megan Schultz, in her Twitter update for the week, thank you so much as always, sent a tweet from at opinionated whatever some fan on Twitter who say, like, honestly, coming from a big Tori Deal fan, she's been annoying this episode, like, why are you so mad and bothered by Anissa? And Tori wrote, hey, it's the dirty 30, gotta pick someone to not like, and she made it easy by throwing me in, welcome to the show. And Anissa wrote, but girl, you like me anyway, shrug. I just think, like, it is this like groupthink mentality that like you have to have an enemy, you have to dislike someone. And Anissa is like that easy target.
Maria gets lopped in there a lot of the time. Just these like older, or more just more veteran characters sometimes come in with more baggage, and therefore maybe like you saw them on a season and you didn't like what they did, or they like have things that have carried over that you just weren't there for. So there's someone who was with them on the previous season and didn't like them, and so you just adopt their mentality. And I mean, Anissa doesn't make it. Sorry, Anissa like was making no sense with that stupid.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I rewound it. And I was like, what is she talking about with this coconut thing? Like, it's two, there's, aren't devil hooks already three anyway? Like, if I had a devil spear, wouldn't it be like a triton? Like a devil triton?
I think they're both implicated in this, and I think it's both for the same reasons. Like, you gotta stay relevant, you gotta stay fighting, you gotta stay with the drama. So I think it comes to be like a little exhausting on camera when not much is going on in an episode, and then there's like a nonsensical fight happening.
Tell me.
I'm embarrassed to admit what I'm about to just tell you. My like DVR clicks off, and so I missed what happened with Tony on the phone. I know.
Oh my gosh. Oh good. the phone segment. Well, before we get into the phone segment, I
can
just
you hear me snapping into the microphone?
Anissa says, yes, she comes back to the house.
That's
Hunter.
How I feel
says,
about the podcast. I didn't
miss the second place, but I'm happy.
But I'm happy and back.
And that's how I feel about this whole franchise. And it was, it's just like summed up into words. I was like, oh. That's where I feel. It's where my brain lives.
I know I'm devastated, but I'm happy you're here to tell me.
Okay. That's what I feel about my local 7-Eleven. Just so many good places. But the phone montage, I can't believe you missed it. And I get to tell you all about it. It was so good. This episode was just fun in a lot of ways that the last one that we talked about wasn't, because, I mean, you start off with Kara just like talking about her mom, and then it cuts to her mom, and then it cuts to Jemmy, your girl, and she needs to know, did Beyonce or Ciara have their baby yet? As if it's like dire information, like who won the election? Did
Okay,
Beyonce
it is
have
unacceptable
baby
that
let
my
know,
DVR cut this much out. Usually
Kayla,
I miss like
who
10
we just
seconds.
Saw on the boat looking like hot and fit is telling her boyfriend that she's fat.
Okay,
blah,
fine,
blah, blah.
Fine.
Jenna and Zach, that saga is not over yet because she's talking to her cousin who may or may not be Brianna about how Zach wants to see her after the season's
Aww.
Over. So get it.
Do we know the sport or just the big game?
This was all done in like
Perfect.
42
yeah, yeah.
seconds. It was very fast with the closing credits, but I just enjoyed it a lot. And I want to give a really big shout out to Derek's son, who won by 2 in his big game, which was really exciting for me. I'm really proud of him. I can't wait to see his professional career flourish. And then, no, just the game. They beat them by 2. We're going to give, And then Tony gets on the phone with Alyssa, and this is where obviously the drama actually is, because he's talking to her and she wants to know if anything's gone down, what's been happening in the house. And she tells him, don't lie to me. You need to tell me the truth. And because he's telling her nothing's happened, and she is saying, well, it's all over the internet that you and Camilla are hooking up. So don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. And he's like, well, I'm not here to mess around. I'm not here to like to screw up. Like, you got to believe me. You got to trust me. And like, they are really like, it sucked. It's hard to watch because like, he clearly, the producers are like, why didn't you tell her? Like, we have the footage. And it's just like, you, I don't know. They end the phone call with being
yeah,
like,
yeah, Spencer
you, babe,
Parks wrote us something about this, which
really,
is how I even knew there
watch.
Was a phone call. So
and
thank you to Spencer.
I have a question for you is,
I don't
how
know,
does
right? Like, it brings
Alyssa
me back to Go Big
that,
or Go Home, like the season that Kayla and Ammo were on.
Up or allegedly
where like
up.
Ammo was posting to the internet about the racist stuff that one of the castmates was saying. My only thing is like, I don't know how much communication they get with the outside world. Like, this phone thing is new to me. Obviously we saw Jenna on the phone with Zach when the season they broke up while he wasn't on the season. Like, I know they get some communication. I'm not clear as to how much. Maybe one of the contestants, Kara, or anyone else really like said it. And like, at this point, it's a small community. Alyssa was on the Real World. Like, she has friends in the environment. Like, who knows who said what to whom, whether it's someone from production or someone on the show telling their loved one in a call or text. I just feel bad. I get why Tony doesn't want to tell her on the phone while he's away and you don't really get to talk about it. I also never understand why someone on a reality show lies when they have footage. So, and I also think she's inclined to believe any, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire with Tony. He's done this before.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably just trying to spare the storyline if as best as he can by just deny, and have
yeah, I hope
the
just everything works out
person,
for the kids, and
which is,
that's,
you know, I guess a
all we could
move.
Say. So,
either way,
did
it was
you
not
watch
fun
this
watch.
Racial
and,
summit at
like
the end
a nice
of the episode
in the beginning, which is sweet. I hope that. I mean, I don't really have any emotional investment in it, and I don't need to watch it play out on my TV anymore. But I hope they sort their shit out. Exactly.
Yeah, I think it goes to sort of support some stuff Brett and I were talking about last week, like the difference between the world today and the world during the real world.
I saw Jemmy ask a question about how to be a good ally.
Where Mike got sent home for racial related reasons. And the world is different, but the attention to it is different. And
what did you take away from
it? My recommendation is to watch the segment. I don't think there's anything more to really talk about. I watched the same clips as you did, and I thought it was well done for what I saw, and they had, you know, professionals in to talk about it. My worry was that it was just going to be like the cast of the show, and like, you're not, you know, like, but they had exactly. So I think I didn't see the whole thing, but like, we saw the same things with the two people who came in to discuss it. So, I get why MTV did it. I support it.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be, you know, Camilla trying to defend herself, but it's not that. Good. Yeah, it's great. They talked to...
All right, so some more things from Twitter this week. Marie was like, some might say I didn't give it 100, but none can say I didn't keep it 100.
It's definitely
very reminiscent of Ray J. Veronica wrote, you gave it 99% more than I would have, just because you tried. I would have curtsied and walked off, maybe also have blown a kiss emoji. Yeah, Veronica is like the unsung hero of the season. I mean, I guess she's sung by some people, but... Yeah.
I love her.
And then Tony, on his new like self-awareness campaign, he says, you want to know how to act in a relationship?
Just, like,
it's easy. Just watch me and do the complete opposite. SMH.
Capacity. She's like doing facepalm emoji. And AMAs, and she's like,
you're so woke, Tony.
And I wish they showed her a little bit more in the show, but she's probably just drinking wine.
So Megan Schultz sent me this, and she called it the WTF News of the Day, which I love as a segment. So this is officially the WTF News of the Day. Derek and Brittany guess, because she sent me just Derek, and I had no idea which one. If I told you Derek and Brittany are involved, which show?
Know thyself.
Nailed it. Nailed it. So that's okay. So that's what I thought. Apparently he's not married, because this wasn't mentioned at all in the article. But he does have a kid who's 8 years old, like you said.
Which one?
So allegedly, I mean, apparently, according to them, and HollywoodLife.com is where I'm getting this from. They posted a video in New York kissing. It seems like a very friendly kiss, but apparently she's like, you have to flirt. And I just kept saying, you'd never make the first move. And then he just like kissed me and I was so surprised. And like, they talk a lot. And one of the things Derek says is like, she was so like loyal to her boyfriend, Chuck from Are You the One, before they broke up on the show. And I like really respected that. Like, she was amazing. And we just became friends. Then they broke up. And now like, maybe they're starting to be more than friends. I have to say, I'm shocked. I think I love this. No, you're good. I love it. I mean, they don't even have that big of an age difference. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's 100. It's 26. She's 26 and he's 34.
I love it too. I was not ready for that. That what the fuck news? Oh, the WTF news, excuse me. That's so good. What? I just don't believe it. No.
Well, it seems like they're definitely not going to hook up on the show. She didn't break up with Chuck until at the end, or Chuck broke up with her, or whatever happened.
And so,
did you happen to catch Fear Factor this week? Now that we see you're such a Fear Factor fan from when you were 11,
super vet. I love it. I hope they hook up on the show, because then my prediction isn't totally wrong.
No, well, so they did an episode this week that had Johnny Bananas, Anissa, Leroy, and Laurel on it, and Joe Reg Rye on Twitter was our Fear Factor intern for the week and sent me a very detailed outline, very well done, notes from what happened in the episode. So it was cast members from Shredders and The Challenge. Now, have you heard of the show Shredders?
Oh, Laurel.
So what Joe Ray Rye wrote, preliminary, nice. Item one, preliminary stuff. Item 1A, what WTF is Shredders? Item 1A1, Shredders is a real world like show where eight people live in a house together. The only real difference is that they live in a ski resort.
Ninja Turtles themed, because that's the only show right now. No, I don't know. What is Shredders?
Well, what Joe writes here is like, if the show goes well, like, is this going to be a new funnel to the challenge? We shall see. Like, when we get the 90s house Shredders challenge, I will retire from podcasting.
I'll be
honest.
So
they competed. Both Shredders teams were eliminated in the first two challenges. Anissa and Laurel. And Johnny and Leroy were paired by gender, competed in the last challenge, and they only won by a minute, Johnny and Leroy. So it was pretty well done. What I love is Ludacris apparently had a quote that Joe Ragrai provided. He just says, Johnny, I didn't like you at first. Same. So what I died is also item six on this is that Joe Ragrai tried to look up Shredders in the aftermath, but MTV didn't even bother to post their Twitter accounts. So not hopeful at the longevity of Shredders.
Nice. Same. Oh.
I support you. If I can do anything to help, you got it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Shredder sounds great. I thought you were just talking about
Hunter's body
learn
type.
Learn how to ski, apply to be on Shredders, use it as a way to become the after show host of the challenge. This is my plan, Allie. You've heard it here first.
All right. So the last drama announcement here I have is
we sent a clip
from the Brain Candy podcast, which is a podcast done by Susie and Sarah Challenge Past.
Yeah, I want to escape my regular life and see.
And it was an interview with Ammo. It seemed like a very the clip seemed great. So like I would be very interested in hearing the whole thing, even though I didn't. Where Ammo was explaining that like producers like harassed and berated Kayla on The Real World until she like cracked, and if like anyone's wondering why Kayla is the way she is on television, it's because the producers made her this way. And he was just relieved that the producers in the challenge were so much of a better team than The Real World, and he just ragged sort of on behalf of Kayla against the production of The Real World season. So if you are into any sort of like Unreal kind of stuff, definitely check out that interview. Yeah, no, it was upsetting. So I found it on Instagram, but you can subscribe to the Brain Candy podcast if you just search Brain Candy in your podcatcher. It was an interview with Emma.
Oh yeah, that sounds great. I mean, poor girl, but sounds like entertainment.
20 more episodes.
Where do you find this?
I want to be done with Redemption House. I think it's fine the way it's happened. I want to be done now. Do you think we're going to get more
for the rest of this season? Who do you want to win? I know.
Really?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I'll have my first child and they'll graduate high school by the time this season is over. But what do you want to see happen for the rest of the season? Agreed. No, it's going to come back because I'm going to say that and that
okay,
means it's
so
not going to come back, but
I think like if we have another Redemption
Survivor,
House, it's going to come because
like the top five.
It's like the last and one. So and then TJ tells them they're fighting for a million because we still but haven't I even seen that reveal. So we are far away from the end of the season,
right
another
before,
redemption
right
or not
before the final. Or
what do I think is going to happen?
Get into the final by redeeming themselves.
I feel strongly after this episode that we're going to see a Leroy run to the finish, and I'm happy about it. I would just like the game to start again without the Redemption House, without the fear of the Redemption House when you put someone up for elimination. And I want to see people start taking some real shots. My fear is that the men are going to just keep throwing in Hunter and Nelson, and it's going to be a couple more weeks before we even get anything interesting.
That's going to happen. I really feel it. I had a Jemmy dream, and in it we watched the same three episodes play out that we've just seen, and then the show will begin. I'm going to still watch. I'm going to watch with bated breath. It'll be good, whatever it is. I hope that they learn from this and give some people a season or two off to get their act together.
I look forward to seeing what happens. I think we're going to get back to some interesting episodes. Coming up soon. If you are looking for something different to watch in addition to the challenge, Are You the One just aired as we recorded this, season 6 of Are You the One. And Adam Bongiovanni and I will be back to record recap minute by minute every episode this season of Are You the One starting tomorrow. We'll be recording, so when you're listening to this, keep your finger on the record, on the download button on your phone, because another life-giving podcast will be on its way. I think we did it.
We good. We did it. I'm so excited for Are You the One and for your podcast. And
I'm with you. I appreciate the plug. I agree. I think it's a great show. Johnny, it is always a pleasure to have you on. I never enjoy when Brian's not here, but I do always enjoy having these chats with you. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much for agreeing to come back and talk about the nonsense that is the challenge this season.
Emotional commitment. So it's a good time.
All right, so where could people find you? All right, fantastic. So you can follow me at Lash Tweets. You can follow Brian at,
oh my gosh,
Cohen Brian underscore.
More educated conversation.
I think it's Cohen Brian underscore, but whatever. He's not here. Follow him next week. Be back next week.
You can follow
He'll
me
be back
Instagram
next week.
Donnie Langan.
We'll all be back at some point. Anyway, Twitter, until
like
then.
But
bye.
I won't tweet. It's JLangs22. Brian Cohen. Oh, Cohen Brian underscore. We're underscore bros.